Brown at home. It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My Lord!
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The finished conspiracy.
Booga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
He can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 72 of Three in the Box, your underground wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, May 3rd, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about two disappointing games in Chicago. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hola.
So, how was the week here for you guys? Anything monumental happen?
Well, the weather's been nice.
Well, aside from the couple inches of hail that I got over my neighborhood today.
Hail, Mother Nature. What the hail is all that about? Who the hail ordered this?
You keep it going with it?
What the hail?
This will be the punniest show ever.
That's what we usually strive for, is the bad dad jokes and puntastic musings.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
It's been nice weather, though. There's no denying that. And,
the hell it hasn't.
It's not really conducive to hockey playing, but...
Well, it's ice.
Well, the hail is, but the 80-degree day is not so much.
No.
Unless you're the NHL in L.A.
Or Vegas, maybe.
or Vegas, right.
Although, you know what? They can do it in Mexico City.
Why not in Minnesota outside?
Yeah, why not?
In May.
Oh, one reason why. Gary Bettman.
Right. Well, that's a pretty big reason right there. Well, before we get too far into things, let's just remind you that you can follow us on Twitter. We're at 3inthebox. So let's get into this thing. So we've had two games this week, and Friday night's game, game one, was an up-and-down affair. Wild quickly went down 3-0 after several defensive breakdowns.
That was scary.
It was scary. It looked like it was going to be a blowout. They played most of the first on their heels, but came blazing back with three unanswered goals in the second to tie things up. Unfortunately, Chicago scored with less than a minute left in the second to go up 4-3. Wild kept it close in the third, but couldn't put things together to tie the game up in the third there. So Wild lose 4-3. First off, were either of you surprised that the Wild could come back so quickly against the Hawks in this game?
In the second period, yeah. I've not seen them as a second period team like that to come out the way they did. So that was a little shocking. Three unanswered goals was kind of unshocking, especially by, you know, unanswered from Chicago.
Right.
I'd say it was a little surprising.
I mean, sometimes the Wild do have their little explosive spurts where they come up with they wrap off a few goals. And unfortunately, sometimes their spurts, don't happen all at the right time.
Right.
Is basically what happened there. But, it didn't surprise me that they came back as quick as they did. I guess it wasn't totally expected. Not while we were playing, like Kenny mentioned, when we were playing Chicago, you don't expect to,
Well, and especially considering how bad the Wild played in that first period.
Yeah.
It didn't look like a game that could come back. I mean, they'd have moments, but then, Chicago would be Chicago and come with a rush right back and be like, okay, that offensive zone time we just had is now a thing of the past, and, the Blackhawks have really short memories, so... Yeah.
But I think the thing that we did have going for us is in that game, I think that, Dubnyk, I don't think he was necessarily to blame for all the goals that went in there. But we kind of shored up our defense in the second and third periods, and we didn't give them some of those chances that they were afforded in the first period. So I think that's definitely what turned it around. And then the Wild were actually able to, I think, start actually playing their game of hockey.
Right.
You know, getting a little speed around there. But that's the thing is, you know, Chicago's got some of that speed to match. And
right.
Yeah. You know,
and do we want to really get in a track meet with them?
Exactly. You
know? No.
Because not only are they fast, but they're very adept at puck carrying, you know, where they'll dangle around you, and you can't be lazy on the puck, because they'll strip it from you and before you even know it.
Most definitely.
Seen that a few times.
Right. Yep. You know, also in game one, the Wild lost Justin Fontaine to the dreaded lower body injury. No immediate timeline for return. You know, if it's a lasting injury, how much will the Wild miss his presence during the playoff run?
Well, I mean, he's a fourth liner, so I would say that, you know, in my opinion, he's interchangeable. It's not a do or die situation. It's not like if we were to lose somebody like Parise or, you know, Granlund.
Yeah, but for a fourth liner, he puts up a good amount
valuable.
Of points.
He's valuable. I'm not trying to discount his value here at all, but I think that we have other guys who do have the ability to step up and play a similar role and in the situations that, you know, we need them. So
sure.
I think that
as you know, much as it hurts, I mean, the Wild do have some depth that they can bring up, and you know, it might be good to try to see what some of these other guys can do against Chicago.
Right. I mean, we've gone over it before, but obviously there's, you know, a handful of guys that could slip into that last spot. You need a guy that can play some PK time as well, because Fontaine spends time on the PK unit. And obviously you want someone who can help kill penalties, like the Wild are so good at doing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of brings us into game two of
right.
The series, where they did have to make a small lineup change to modify for the Fontaine injury. And like you said, they brought in Holla.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't say they brought in Holla, but you did say that they needed somebody who could play on the PK, and Holla is one of those guys. So, and definitely has similar speed to match, if not, you know, maybe even a little bit more speed than Fontaine. But, so, yeah, Holla got his, that was his first start of the playoffs this year. So, coming in for Fontaine. And then you got Holla moved into the center position on that fourth line, and they moved Brodziak out to the wing. And I mean, I guess I would say the Wild got off to a slightly better start tonight than they did.
No goals given up in the first. So, right.
You know, I mean, it was, yeah, we're even up there. I guess in the first period, it was is a closer, tighter checking game, I guess.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of high-quality scoring chances on either side. I mean, there was opportunities, but...
Well, in the Wild, we're doing a good job of keeping Chicago outside of the...
Keeping them at bay.
Yeah, keeping them out to the perimeter where they can still kill you out there, but, you know, their bread and butter is breakouts and,
right.
You know, basically making goalies look foolish. So
saw a little bit of that tonight, too.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, because then in the second and third, it was a lackluster performance. The Hawks went up on us 2-0. With a couple of basically second period tallies that came off of
bad
horrible
turnovers.
Yeah,
one, I mean, the first one was a Tage shorthanded that he basically stripped Suter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the second one was a little flop pass from Vanek and a bing bing, and you got somebody on the break. And
20 seconds left in the period.
Yeah,
yep. So not a good way to go out of a period or into the next.
No. And the Wild did answer early in the third, but still, it just wasn't enough. They added on another goal and an empty netter, and
one of the goals was that one that it was off the knob of Dubnyk's stick.
Oh yeah, that was a shorthanded one.
That was a shorthanded one, and it's like
that was
some bad luck right there.
Very bad luck. Suter almost redeemed himself by grabbing that puck back out of the net.
But he was like 2 inches too short.
Yeah. So
that's what she said.
So what do you guys think about Hollis' performance tonight? I mean, did you even notice him out there?
You know, he was out there. I mean, he's 10 minutes of ice time. You know, I don't know. I liked his speed. I think with the line he was on, I mean, they didn't get too many solid looks.
Right.
But, you know, he was also out there for some of the PK time. So I think he's also trying to get his legs underneath him from not playing any playoff hockey all season yet.
A little bit of rust on him, I'm sure, yeah.
There's nothing to say looking at his performance where you're like, oh, he messed up this or that. But he also, I don't want to say he was invisible because obviously it wasn't like he didn't touch the puck at all during the game.
Yeah.
But he wasn't really.
He had kind of just the same general lackluster that most of the players had.
Right.
That's the thing, though, is, you know, we could certainly try to critique Hollis' performance here, but really overall, as a team tonight, I don't think they performed very well. I mean, there was errant passes and getting beat to the pucks in the on the boards and in the corners and that stuff all adds up and really, I think Holla did do a pretty good job on the PK. There was one play where I saw him in there where I think he was trying to clear the zone by hitting it around behind the back of the net. And I mean, I just saw that and I thought it was a very poor choice on his part. And the puck didn't get cleared out.
But, you know, you could go around and there's a lot of poor choices.
There were, exactly.
You know, all over this team. I mean, Vanek had a really bad game. He was a minus four. Suter had, like we brought up, Suter had a terrible game.
Suter had a couple of bad turnovers.
Yeah, he was a minus three. You know, between both of them in the playoffs this year are negative seven.
Wow.
So neither of them, I think you could make the argument that neither of them have had very good playoffs up to this point.
Negative seven. So maybe if we just take $1 million off for every point negative they are.
Why the hell not?
The Wild are going to be making money at that point.
Right.
That's how the Wild print money, I think. they're like, can we get Konopka back, please? That's got to be good for, you know, good, or no, Heatley would be a real good one.
Oh.
That'd be worth like $20 million alone, right?
Could you imagine if we put Konopka, centering, Heatley and Vanek right now?
That'd be the slowest line on earth.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they would constantly be behind the camera, so you wouldn't really be able to see how fast they were actually going, and they're just trying to get a jump on, you know, the D giving them a breakout pass.
Or getting their faces punched.
Playing with their rabbits.
So the man who's carried us thus far in the season, Dubnyk, what do you guys think of his performance so far in the Chicago series?
Bad, you know, he's had some bad puck luck, but the numbers are looking pretty grim right now.
The numbers don't look good this year.
Over two games, I mean, .892 save percentage and a 3.5 goals against average. I mean, that's not good for a playoff team.
Well, and look at game one. I think we agreed there's maybe one of those goals was on Dubnyk.
Right.
But tonight there's probably two or three that were on Dubnyk.
Yeah. And
at least two were.
I feel that the Wild
did a lot to put us
in a bad position where we're giving people like Kane or Taze a open, wide open look at the net. And those are guys that don't miss, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you put any goalie in net, and if it's just a one-on-one, probably about 8 times out of 10, those guys are going to beat that goalie.
The thing is, I mean, Kane's a sniper.
Yep.
So you don't even have to give him a wide open net. I mean, and six out of 10 times Kane's going to make that shot with just that little sliver, because that's who Patrick Kane is. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's something where you can't, kind of like with Tarasenko in St. Louis, you got to make sure you're not giving him those opportunities to have a clear shot at the net or at Dubnyk, because, again, you know, 60% of the time, he's going to end up putting the puck behind Dubnyk.
And, see, I don't think those numbers are that high. Otherwise, they'd be in, scoring, 80% of their goals in the shootouts, and that's just not the case. Right, if you're looking at it that way,
you're talking about a one-on-one situation or a situation where Kane has an open shot at the net with a bunch of traffic in front of the goalie.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking like the Sharp goal would be a good example, I think, tonight, where he found a hole and he got it. But I can't put that all on the defense,
Well,
some of it is. Some of it obviously is. The defense
was definitely beat there, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because as a defenseman, you need to. You're either putting yourself in the passing lane between the guy coming down on the boards, and if there's another person coming down like in the slot, you're either there, or which in most cases, there were two defenders still back. So it's still like a 2-on-2.
Right.
But that defender was getting beat to the outside by these guys. Maybe the speed was the factor, but...
But every breakaway isn't a guaranteed goal. So to treat it as if Dubnyk had no chances is a...
Well, and you got to give him one on the fluky goal, right, where he actually did make the save, and then it...
Well, that it was off. Suter's fault anyway, that it was... Right. He was, dogging
Sharp's
it.
Sharp's goal was the one where the Wild were in a bad line change, wasn't it?
Yes.
So there was literally, one guy on the ice at that point.
And he was out of position.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Yeah. It was just an overall really bad game. I mean, this. Let's be honest, though. The score is 4-1, but the game felt closer than that, I think.
First period looked pretty good. Obviously a 0-0 score. I think Chicago may have had a couple of better looks,
but we had it down to a one goal game, in the second there. So it's
actually that was in the third.
It was in third. So
yeah, beginning.
I mean, it was
we're still in the game,
right? It wasn't like it was. I mean, the score looks like a blowout, but it really wasn't.
Yeah, that empty netter always at the end always kind of attacks on a. It was a closer game, but I still don't believe that, the Wild had their best effort forward.
No.
I saw a lot of players getting beat to pucks, players kind of taking, maybe you call it kind of taking a shift off where, they're just gliding around, going through the motions a little bit. And
we had Steve the Joker Miller.
Take the money and run.
One of our favorite linesmen in the league.
Yeah.
With some, and it went both ways. He was bad both ways.
Yeah.
With offsides where it's like, he called Chicago offsides and it was like
icing calls when it's still at the face off dot in the circle.
it was bad.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Tackles.
That would have been a referee.
But, that wasn't good either. I mean,
no. Chris Stewart was. I mean, I would call it raped. he was definitely tackled. I think the announcer said Chicago Bears style.
Right.
They might be able to use him on the Bears. They could maybe use a good tackler.
The announcers had said a lot of stupid things.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they forgot what sport they were talking about a few times.
Yeah, so they're talking about horse racing and...
basketball, I think, was brought up in there.
Basketball.
F1? They're talking about racing? F1, maybe?
Yeah, wow. That was
but
bad.
Still, that play on Stewart, though, was... I mean... It's pretty blatant.
That's the kind of definition of a hold.
You're right. You see a guy literally with his arms wrapped around a guy's ankles.
It was a good hockey play, though.
It was a good hockey play, which sends him sprawling into the boards, totally unprotected. He couldn't catch himself or...
there was another non-holding call. I don't remember what defenseman it was, but basically he was towing the Chicago player across the ice with Dumba. His stick. Yeah.
Right. Or there was the where Vanek was cross-checked into Crawford, and Vanek gets called for goalie interference.
Right.
And it's like, what game are they watching? I mean, this shouldn't be that hard.
They're watching the Vancouver game.
Right.
The Vancouver game. Yep. Yeah, yeah. The Vancouver-Ottawa series.
So, we got Oduya tackling Stewart. We got Shaw. He was throwing a couple of... We saw him give a good cross check to... was that Spurgeon?
Yeah.
Yep.
Spurgeon in front of the net there.
He got called on that.
He did get called on that one.
Yeah.
So after the first two games here, aside from what the series record is, have you guys been surprised at how this has been going so far?
No, I mean, I hate to say that I expected this outcome.
Yeah.
It's Chicago and the Wild have struggled there, so. I mean, I can't be totally surprised by that outcome. I do wish that things obviously ended a little differently, but, you know, what can you do?
I'm a little surprised with game two. I mean, I thought they would have rebounded a little bit better after game one. This is the first time that they've lost two games in a row with Dubnyk.
Yep. In regulation.
In regulation.
Yep.
And he's had bad games before and has bounced back.
Yeah.
The team has bounced back pretty heartily. And I was a little, I mean, obviously the first period of game two was a pretty well fought out battle, but you know, a couple of bad plays in the second period and it just kind of completely turned around.
Right.
So I thought for sure that they would have ended up at least splitting the first two games with Chicago in Chicago.
Yeah, I really came into it thinking that they would steal one from Chicago in the beginning here, but obviously we're going to have to come back and do it again sometime if we plan to win this series. I guess in my mind, what has surprised me probably the most is that the Wild have kind of been a little bit inconsistent with their play.
Right.
So, I mean, if you've been playing this solid defense and, you know, your goalie backing you up has, you know, only had to, you know, make those standard saves, and now... I mean, we got some guys that are getting some pretty good looks at the net, and
right.
And we're giving stuff like that up. And I guess that's my biggest surprise is that it almost seems like defensively, maybe we're breaking down a little bit too.
And that's a definite problem we're having right now. You know.
Yeah. So that said, we touched on it a little bit earlier. Who would you guys say has been pretty much the number one pain in the ass for the Wild thus far in the series?
It's pretty easy to pick on you. Normally it's, you know, someone like Bickle or Shaw, or Duya, but I think right now it's gotta be Kane. He's got three goals, so far in this short series. I don't know how else you could pick anyone different. Maybe Crawford.
Yeah.
Keith. Keith has been...
Donkey Teeth.
Donkey Teeth. He's got... Four assists, 4 points, three assists.
Yep.
In the two games. Tonight he played 30 minutes, just over 30 minutes on ice. That alone, I mean, the stamina, obviously he was out there for a reason with that many minutes. And I mean, with getting the points on top of it, I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. When you get that kind of production out of your defense, I agree. That's pretty tough, but it's hard to argue also against the American sniper. That is Patrick Kane.
Dimes.
Dimes. Yeah. So. Well, you know, apparently the cab driver had a hard time arguing with him, too.
So, yeah.
Well, speaking of Chicago and goals here.
So, yeah, over the
pain in the rears.
Pain in the rear.
Yeah.
Or back seat, I guess, maybe, like the Dimes coming flying at you. Back of the head.
At least they weren't playing quarters, you know, that might cause injury, right?
Oh, boy. So over the past two games, in eight Chicago goals, including a shorthanded goal and an empty net tonight, 12 different Hawks have tallied points, none of which surprisingly includes Bickell. All four Hawks lines have registered at least one goal and all have at least 2 points. So, I mean, they're spreading the love around. I mean, and they're spreading it around quite heavily.
Definitely. And that's, I mean, that's what you look for. I mean, in a playoff team, obviously, is some nice well-roundedness. I mean, I know we've had this discussion several times, even back, you know, dating back to the beginning of the season, you know, where we talk about, you know, having production from each of those lines. And we know when the Wild are on that, you know, all four of our lines are producing. But I think, you know, some of the things that we're missing is like on our team, we got Parise, who's usually good for, you know, about a point per game average. But beyond that, we don't have any sort of other superstars that produce points
right
like that. I know we've got some other people that we kind of expected that from, but in all reality we don't have that, so we're needing that kind of production across our four lines if we ever plan to do anything.
And we saw that in the first series.
Yeah,
you know, but obviously we're not seeing that now,
right?
So all right, so what needs to happen, I mean, as far as the lines go, any type of juggling that you foresee to start taking control over this very deep Hawk team?
You know, I don't know that they really can do anything. They've been juggling lines as they've been going along. I don't know that they can really do anything different. You know, do they try some other combination? Do they break up the one line that they've actually, you know, that's actually been producing?
Right. I mean, our top line, you know, Granlund and Parise and Pommaville. I mean, aside from tonight, I mean, tonight they didn't put any tallies on the board, but neither did anybody else.
Right.
Aside from our second power play, right. Yep. So, I mean, really, and yeah, you're not going to break that up, but if you go down to like the fourth line, we've got a few pieces down there that are a little bit interchangeable, but I mean, how much playing time do those guys really see down there in the fourth line?
Right. Well, and I mean, maybe we could switch out, you know, Cook or, you know, Holla, and bring in someone like Schrader or
Bergenheim,
yeah. You know. Bergenheim's had some success in the playoffs in the past, and he's not afraid to shoot, but, you know, neither is Schrader, so, you know.
Yeah. And really, I think that at this point in the series, the Wild need speed on the ice to match up with the Blackhawks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're not going to be aiming for any more physical play or any more, you know, big bodies out there, really. I mean, so far, I mean, in my opinion, this series has, you know, been played fairly clean. There's been some physical play, you know, the playoff brand of hockey, you know, where you're following through on your checks, but not quite the intimidation style of playoff hockey that St. Louis likes to play.
Oh, sure. But, you know, it's with St. Louis, though, that's what they're trying to do, is just get under your skin.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that that's going to really... That's not going to be what Chicago's going to play. Yeah. And, you know, it's not going to be the way the Wild play.
Nope. Chicago plays with some talent, right?
Right.
So what else do you think needs to happen then with the Wild to help even up this series? I mean,
score. I mean, they're averaging 2 points a game right
that
now.
Always helps.
They're averaging 2 points a game in the first round. They're averaging right around three goals a game. You know, you're gonna have a tough time winning when you're scoring two goals a game on average.
Yeah.
Especially against a team that's putting up 4 goals a game.
Right.
They've got some offensive power.
Right. I mean, that's an easy one. You know,
I think that the Wild could also, they're going to have to start winning some races to the pucks. They're going to need to start getting into those dirty areas and getting the winning the races to the pucks. Because if they're not going to win the races to the pucks, we're...
Oh, then they have to be smart with the puck, too, because they can't just think they can dangle stuff around and a Blackhawk player won't come and pick their pocket, because they'll do it every single time.
Yeah, Chicago's not a team you can just dangle around. I mean, it's got to be clean passes, it's got to be crisp passes, and you got to keep moving the puck up the ice and keep shooting. That's about the only way that it's going to happen. Also, D, you know, you're seeing a lot of defensive breakdown where Chicago's just kind of like it happened to Suter tonight with that shorthanded goal.
Yep.
Where basically he didn't see Kane?
Yeah.
Coming right up and basically picked his pocket. And
it was Kane, I think.
Had almost a one-on-one with Dubnyk.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the same way in game one. I mean, the defense needs to be – something needs to happen because right now D is falling apart. And it probably goes a lot on Suter because he's had two not-so-great games here early on.
Yeah, the defense definitely needs to shore things up. That's, I think, what has been the most, solid part. That's helped the Wild to, the good goaltending and that throughout the season here. And that obviously needs to continue into the playoffs. And if we aren't going to have that, we aren't going to win.
Right. Well, if on a lighter note, if you have been following us on Twitter during the series, you're well aware of our distaste for NBC. And their NBC Sports and their TV crew. In particular, many of us have been vocal of Doc Emmerich's insistence on pronouncing Grondland. And then since game one now, both Russo and Doc have chimed in that Doc asked Granny how to pronounce Granny's name. And Doc claims that the pronunciation he's been using on TV, Grondland.
Is this a tongue twister you're going to teach your kids?
Is how he pronounces it. So first off, A, should we care that Doc is actually like doing his job and trying to figure out how things are pronounced, especially when he can't pronounce Parisi consistently?
He cares a lot.
And B, will this cause you to change the way you pronounce Grondland's name?
A, should we care? Well, we probably should care, but by the time, next season starts, he's going to probably be back to his old ways with Michael. Or that was more of a Pierre thing, I think. But
even tonight, though, Pierre switched to Mikhail. So who knows what's... Mikhail. Yeah, you didn't say Mikhail like that.
Like Mikhail's Navy.
Yeah, like we're getting from some of the other NBC folks.
Oh, they're bad.
Why the Mikhail not?
Oh, no.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know. Part of it, it's kind of fun just to razz him.
Right.
Anyways, but no, but the other thing is, we do talk a lot of crap about how they don't give a crap about non-East Coast or East hockey.
Well, even in the arena, when Dumba scored his goal, the PA announcer called him Doomba.
is not a Doomba.
He goes, and the goal for Minnesota, Matt Doomba.
Doomba.
And he said it in this really like deep voice, Doomba.
It might be a Doomba. It's not a Doomba.
it's the latest craze, the Doomba classes. Doomba fitness.
Oh, wow. You are a real Doomba 55. Yes.
So are you going to change how you pronounce... Are you going to change how you pronounce it then, Kenny?
Yeah, I'm going to keep calling Dumba Doomba.
No, how about Mikhail's Navy?
No, absolutely not. I'm still calling him Granlund.
Well, honestly, it's I'm going to call him Granlund because, you know what? In Minnesota, we say Granlund. I'm sure there's hundreds.
And we say soda, pop.
And... Duck, duck, gray duck.
Not duck, duck, goose.
Yeah, what the heck is that? Yeah,
duck, duck, gray goose?
Duck, duck, gray goose.
Now, gray goose. Duck, duck, gray goose. We could do that. Shots all around.
So I'm going to still call him Granlund. Screw all that noise. You know. But, you know, the thing is usually Wild fans are pretty sensitive to changing the way we pronounce a guy's name when he says, this is how I pronounce it. Like, I think Brodin used to be Broden. No, it was Jonas. Because we used to say Jonas, and then it's Jonas, or one way or the other.
Jonas.
Zidlicky.
Right. You know? I think that pronunciation, did that stem from an NBC thing also? Or was that a Fox Sports?
I think it was Fox Sports. But, you know, we'll change the way it's pronounced if... it merits it, but it's been of several years now of calling him Granlund. It would just be really weird at this
like
point.
Marianne Gaborik.
Right.
You know, I the other question, you know, that comes up with this is, did he even understand what the hell Doc was talking about, or is he just shaking his head going, uh-huh.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
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 He did say to he doesn't know how to pronounce it, and that Doc should ask his mother. So,
so maybe a resolution to all this is that, like, upon signing your contract to the NHL, or, you know, I mean, I'm sure that other professional sports leagues have similar issues with
Jose and
pronunciations.
Well, you know, actually, on the Wild website. Mm-hmm. They've got audio clips of every player pronouncing their name.
Okay. So, fair enough. So, when you sign in and sign your contract into the league and you become a member of the NHL, you record your little soundbite with the pronunciation that you want to use, and this is what will be used throughout your career.
Forever.
Forever, yes.
And you can just deal with it.
Yeah.
And let's see if we can hear how he actually pronounces his name.
Mikhail Granlund, center, Helsinki.
Crown?
Mikhail Granlund, center, Helsinki.
Sounds like a Granlund.
Mikhail Granlund, center,
it sounds like
Helsinki.
Granlund to me. That's how I hear it.
Mikhail Granlund, center, Helsinki.
Sounds like he's got it down to like one syllable.
Granlund.
Oh. So that means we have to pronounce it like that then? Mikhail Granlund. That's tough.
Yeah, I think I'll stick to Granlund.
Yeah, let's Americanize this.
Finnish Jesus is easier.
Right. Or Granny.
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't want to call him Granny.
Granny?
No. I'm wearing my Granny panties.
So an old guy I used to work with, I used to give him crap all the time when he's on his computer.
In his granny panties?
Well, because he'd have all this crap on his computer. His email inbox, he wouldn't delete anything. So there was like 15,000 emails in there. It's like, good luck archiving this. This is, but his home computer would always get
viruses
on it. That's
what search is for.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the other guys would always go through and he's like, you know, you got to stop looking at all the porn. So, because, you know, he's, you know, retirement age. So I was like, always giving crap. Like, So what were you looking at? Granny panties, granny trannies, and granny panties?
.com?
.com.
Oh, boy. Have we done this? Are we done? Are we done?
Are we done?
I think we're done. Okay. Game of the week?
Game of the week.
Move right on to that game of the week.
After the granny trannies.
And on a high note here.
Or low.
Or low, yeah.
This week's game of the week, granny trannies.
In granny panties.
Who will win? The tranny grannies?
I think we all
or
lose.
Or the panties.
I don't know. Let's use Aaron's computer to see what this site actually looks like.
Which is really actually funny, because my, not to totally go off the topic here, but talking about using someone else's computer to do a nefarious search. My wife has recently been using a lot of the OK Google commands. Oh, no. And so she was showing me about how she was searching for stuff. So she went,
no.
OK Google. And before she get her words out, I just go, clown porn. And then searched for clown porn, and she was really upset. Because after I was like, ha ha, clown porn's in your history.
Oh. What, and how many of our phones just went off there when you said, okay, Google?
One of these days at a corporate event when I'm testing microphones, I'm just going to go, okay, Google, and see how many people's phones just start going off in their pocket.
De-doo, de-doo, de-doo.
Clown porn.
Oh, boy.
Got you guys.
So for anybody of you that are listening to our podcast on your... on your Android devices.
Okay, Google.
Clown porn.
Okay, Google. Granny trannies.
In granny panties.
Okay, you guys are setting my phone off now. This is not okay.
No, but it's okay, Google.
This is horrible. Remember, we are moving into the game of the week.
Yeah, game of the week.
One more time.
Oh, boy. So, last game's game of the week was the Wild Blackhawks game one. And only one of us picked the right one. That was Kenny. He picked the Blackhawks. That moves him up to 20 points on the season. Jives at second with 17. I'm way back in last with 9 whole freaking points. So with that, I get to choose the game of the week again this week. I'm optimistic that there will be a game five, so I'm going with game five, Wild at Blackhawks. So let's go with Jive. Who are you picking?
You want me to pick first, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we got to make sure you get skunked here, sir. All right. I'm going to go with the Wild, though, in game five there. Yeah. Actually, let me change my vote.
You're going to change your vote from the Wild to the what?
I'm going to change my vote from the Wild to the Hawks.
Yeah, you're going to go for the Hawks?
Yeah.
Game five?
Yeah, because really, I think this is actually going to probably go to 7 games.
Sure.
And I think that it's that 7th game. That's the first time that the Wild are going to break this horrible streak of losses in Chicago in the playoffs.
You got to win at least one game seven, right? Or one game on the road.
At least one game on the road, and it's going to be that game number 7. So I'm going to go with the Hawks here. I'm going to go with the Hawks winning that 5th game. I'm going to go with 4 total goals. I think it'll be a close game. Don't get me wrong there. It'll probably be like a 2-1, close one. Dubes will get pulled at the end. There'll be an empty netter, and it is what it is. We'll come back to St. Paul.
Well, I, too, am picking the Hawks, but I'm doing it for simpler reasons because whenever I pick a team, they never win. So it seems like a no-brainer to go pick the Hawks. It really doesn't affect where my points are going to be. Yeah, go Hawks, I guess, because that works all the time.
Yeah.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Just go drink some Malort.
Guilty as charged. Kenny, what are you picking?
Well, considering I've been kind of on a roll lately, I'm hoping this trend stays, and I'm taking the Wild with 5 total goals. I think this will be their game to finally win in Chicago. And yeah, I think it'll be this one coming up. I think they'll be on a good little trend after a couple of home games.
All right.
So we think they're gonna do well here at home on home ice then too, right?
Oh yeah.
Aaron's optimistic here, taking that fifth game.
I see the next four games as wild victories.
Oh, so you're gonna go in six?
Wild,
huh?
In six.
Wow, that's awfully
wow ambitious. Yeah. Yes.
So okay.
Don't take my word for it.
Oh, we don't.
Well,
yeah.
I think we're done here. You know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for Three in the Box, and that's at Three in the Box on Twitter, you can find me, my personal account on Twitter again, at Aaron3ITB, where I tweet about beer, hockey, music, pinball, other stuff. Kenny.
Sweet.
And you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999. You know, live audio, random stupid stuff. Pinball's more on my Instagram, which I should probably get that to an easy username. So that's more interesting than my Twitter feed, I think, anyways.
Or you can just have it paste over from Instagram to Twitter.
Yeah, but that never works right, because you still have to click on the link to get out of it. It's not like it actually puts the photo in there.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, that's why I do it every now and again, but I try not to, because the hashtags are also different between the @s.
Oh, right, right.
So it won't always take the, even if you're trying to direct it to somebody on Twitter from Instagram, it doesn't always flow over proper.
Sounds like you need an app.
I need an app.
For that.
I do.
Yep.
Or there needs to be some better APIs on the server-side stuff.
That. Or Twitter needs to be nicer anyways. Are they still limiting all their developers or the people who want to develop their...
To 100,000 users? Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they are.
And this week on Three About Android.
That's coming up next, folks. I'm Jive Midnight. You can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. Peace out. Good night, folks.
Bye-bye.